This podcast is presented by Celery Digital. Thanks for listening.
I looked at him and said, that's it. That's an idea, man. That's $1 million idea. Another friend said, you guys are crazy. That's ludicrous, blah, blah. So the next day, we set about it. I went out, I drew up some, I took a wine glass, the solid sort of rubber ping pong ball, and the end of a drumstick, and glued them together as a prototype. And that was it. That was the beginning. We went out within 2 weeks. We had located a manufacturer by sheer luck. And a year later, we were patented.
Welcome to Celery Talks. This is a show that features ideas and the stories that are behind them. And I'm your host, Tad Kelsey. Celery Talks will tell the stories of business ideas and the people that made them part of their stories. 4 years ago, David D'Agostino and Jason Klinge founded their company called The Beach Glass. The impetus for starting the company was the breaking of the base of a wine glass. Some would call this a party foul, but Jason and David saw it as a light bulb for a new product that people needed.
David, thanks for joining me today. First, for any listeners that are not familiar with the Beach Glass, tell us about your product.
The Beach Glass is an acrylic drinking glass. We call it Outdoor Drinkware Evolved. And it's made for use on in the sand, grass, snow, and they float as well.
Let's go back to the beginning for you specifically. Where are you from? Where did you grow up?
I'm from Ohio originally, but I've been living in New York for the past 30 years.
Wow. What did life in Ohio teach you?
To move to New York.
Yeah. So do you call yourself an Ohioan or a New Yorker?
I don't. I think I call myself a New Yorker. More time here than I had there, so...
Yeah, that's amazing how that works out. Well, what were you doing before you founded the Beach Glass?
Before the Beach Glass, I was working as a construction manager.
Is that what your experience, life experience, work experience, education was in?
That was one of many careers that I had before starting the Beach Glass.
What did you learn in some of your other careers that lent to success with the Beach Glass?
Well, with what I've learned, what I learned that we use that applies to the Beach Glass is basically to a creative approach. The product itself is unique. It's creative. It's inventive, and we didn't take any traditional approach to getting this to market because we didn't know a traditional approach. We had no idea. So Jason was also in construction, and so we took a lot of that, those organizational skills, tried to apply them to the Beach Glass and adapt, and it worked out pretty well for us.
All right, well, tell me about the aha moment that brought about the Beach Glass.
Well, the aha moment actually came at Jason's house, which was under construction. And we were sitting around a outdoor fire with a few friends drinking. And we it was in sand. There were some rocks there. And Jason had put his glass down, wine glass, and the base of the stem broke off. So he stuck it in the sand. And that was it. That was the aha moment. So... I looked at him and said, that's it. That's an idea, man. That's $1 million idea. Another friend said, you guys are crazy. That's ludicrous, blah, blah. So the next day, we set about it. I went out, I drew up some, I took a wine glass, the solid sort of rubber ping pong ball, and the end of a drumstick, and glued them together as a prototype. And we went down to the beach and we tried it and we thought, all right, let's do it. So we hired an engineer and they did CAD drawings for us. And that was it. That was the beginning. We went out within 2 weeks. We had located the manufacturer by sheer luck. And a year later, we were patented.
Wow. That's so 2 weeks within that aha moment. Would you consider yourself entrepreneurial before you began this process of founding the Beach Glass?
I would say so, yes. But what I realized at that aha moment was if we didn't act right away, we would never do anything.
Right.
So we just jumped all in, feet first, and just went for it. And we learned a lot along the way.
You mentioned a friend that was present at the aha moment who laughed at you. Did you have any other scoffers initially?
You know what? We didn't, because everything happened so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go out and ask people what they thought. We weren't looking for feedback. We felt this is it. It works. It's simple. Of course, we immediately did a search to see if anything similar existed. We're shocked mm-hmm. to find out it hadn't. And when we did the patent search and found out that there was nothing existing, we just went all in. We invested our own money, our own time, and the business was, from the first order, was self-financed.
So very little market research other than does this exist? And you just basically trusted your instinct that there's something here.
We live in Long Island. We spend a lot of time at the beach. And if you go to the beach and drink at the beach,
mm-hmm.
you know what the problems are. It's difficult. You know, there's always sand on your glass. If it's wet, sand gets inside. It tips over. You know, also plastic trash all over the beach. That was always a concern of mine and Jason as well. And the solution presented itself. We knew it made sense. So that was it. We didn't do market research. Mm-hmm. We didn't do it traditional. We had no idea how to do market research. So that's part of the reason we didn't do it. There were a lot of things we didn't know about manufacturing, marketing, retailing. But we were committed to it.
I've heard Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, talk about the vulnerability of an idea in its infancy. It seems like just your initiative pushed through that vulnerability, that no one was going to stop it by scoffing at it because you guys had moved so quickly.
We moved too quickly. We you know, there was no time for anybody to scoff or tell us that this wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
We had, I would say, within probably 3 or 4 months of getting the drawings, we had physical samples.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a factory ready to go, and we placed an order.
You said it took a year to patent?
We started the patent process as soon as we had drawings. And it was, I believe it did take a year. Maybe it took a little longer, but not much. So from the beginning of the process till the time that we have both the design and a utility patent.
Did you begin to sell the product within the year before it was patented, or did you wait until you had that process finished?
We did not. We started to sell without a patent.
Okay.
And, you know, what we know about, what we learned about patents at the time and what we know about patents now is that it's not a foolproof barrier to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a couple of people I believe we spoke with that said, you know what? Don't wait for the patent.
Mm-hmm.
You're there. Get it out on the market and see what happens.
How many manufacturers did you have to go to before finding the one that made the first glass?
We lucked out. Basically, knowing absolutely nothing. First, we tried to get it made in the States, which we couldn't do.
Mm.
It's the original Beach Glass. The wine-shaped glass is made through a process called blow molding. And we could not find a company in the United States that did that or that was willing to do that on what was a pretty small scale to begin with. I think our first order, it was large to us, it was 30,000 glasses. But to manufacturers, it didn't make sense. And since that time, we've continued to try to find a manufacturer here in the States, but we weren't able to. I went online and I looked at some acrylic drinkware manufacturers. I saw one that I really liked that was making some really good product. It was perfect, clear, beautiful, just what we wanted. Looked like glass. We contacted them, sent them the drawings. They made a mold, and they did the prototype. We never met them. We never went to Taiwan to speak with them. We still have that manufacturer today. We now have two manufacturers who are to keep up with demand, but they're still with us today.
So for those listening that have never tried to get an idea manufactured, a product manufactured, what does it take for that manufacturer to agree to say, you know, I'll do this for you financially? What does it take? What does it take in a prototype, et cetera?
The manufacturers all have an MOQ, minimum order quantity. However, if you're persistent, you can get a lower quantity. You don't have to go with their MOQs, which we did. I think the MOQ was 50,000. We were like, no, we can't do it. We don't have the money for it. It's too many. We don't, it's not what we're looking to do right now. If you're with a small manufacturer, they're willing to make some concessions. They'll bend, and you can make an agreement with them. You know, there are a lot of larger manufacturers out there. And eventually we had to bring on another manufacturer who was doing work for some very large companies. And we were small potatoes to them, but they also looked at the product and saw potential. So they were willing to take a chance on us. I mean, you have to sell the potential, sell your next order. You have to convince them that this is the beginning. There will be more orders to follow.
Give me a timeline here. What year was the aha moment? And then what year did the company officially get founded?
We've been officially in business for only 3 years. So the aha moment, I believe, was only 4 years ago. So it's
okay.
Been...
Okay. Wow.
It's a whirlwind. I mean, we received the prototype. It was perfect. We approved it. We placed an order for 30,000 glasses. We had a website built. We were ready to sell.
Mm-hmm.
We had the product at a fulfillment center.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided, let's sell. Let's see how it goes. 2 or 3 months, I believe, after we started, we had a PR firm working for us, and they got us a spot on the Glass, not us, a spot on the Today Show. And a day or two or three after that, the Glass was also... I can't remember the name of the person, but on the Elvis Duran show, she spoke about the glass, and we sold out of everything we had within a couple of weeks. Literally, we had no product. We went from our first order to nothing in a very short time. A very short time.
And that was all off your website.
That was all off the website. Yeah, I remember the day when the Today Show orders were rolling in after the Today Show and after the Elvis Duran, and we had notifications that would pop up, and my phone and my computer were constantly dinging, ding, 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 order after order after order. We were shocked. We were absolutely shocked, stunned, and that's when we knew we did, you know. That was basically our market testing.
It's right.
That was the proof.
Was that the event that caused the largest amount of growth overall for you?
That was the event. I mean, that introduced us to a very large audience. That was Hoda and Kathy Lee, I believe. And that those two events introduced us. When you create a product that's a niche product that has no, you know, there's no other product that was similar to ours. So it's very difficult. Well, how do you market that? How do you make people aware of that? That this product exists. This is the use.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that show that introduced us. After that, it was word of mouth. And then, I mean, we never really have had a marketing campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't invest. We invested very little in advertising. Because it hit. It was happening organically.
How many iterations of the original glass up to the glasses that you offer now?
We now offer two glasses, two styles, and the original beach glass, which is the wine glass, and the Caribbean collection, which is more of for juice or cocktails or, you know, water. That was it. I mean, we
mm-hmm.
designed the original beach glass. Then we said, you know what? We actually had beer drinkers that were saying we need a glass as well. And we wanted to open up the market to men because the majority of our buyers were women at the time. I think still are. So we came out with the Caribbean collection, and there was no experimentation. We basically would come up with the design, hand it over to the CAD artists, and send it out for a mold.
How long until you went full time with Beach Glass?
It was about, I would say it was probably after a year and a half, when it was clear that it couldn't be a side gig anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That it was going to take a lot more time and commitment to get it done. So, I would say a year and a half after launch.
And for that first year and a half, you were working in the construction industry on this half and half?
I was working full time.
Wow.
And then when I had, you know, in the afternoon, after work, the same with Jason, on the weekends, we devoted to the beach glass. Actually, right after the, we were actually fulfilling orders ourselves at the time,
mm-hmm.
That we were on the Today Show. And Jason was building his house, and he had the disused old house in the back that became our warehouse. We had friends, family, kids from school, friends of our kids, packing orders, truckloads of orders into the local post office for mailing. And it was crazy. It was crazy. I think we processed 18,000 orders that way. Now, looking back, I don't know how we did it. I can't imagine. Not 18,000 orders, 18,000 glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, I can't imagine. We have photos of it, and it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But we had orders. It had to be done. We never expected that to happen. We thought those 30,000 glasses were going to last us a year or 2 years while we developed the business. So the worst thing, what we thought was the worst thing that could have happened to us was, once we hit, we ran out of product.
Mm-hmm.
We thought that was our death. You know, we had the patent by that point, I believe. But we were worried. We said, hey, we just introduced this great product to the world, and now we don't have any more to sell. So we forged ahead. We said, look, that we were able to, that we're at the point where we have a constant flow of product coming in so that we can plan for the next season and meet the demand.
Did Jason also go full-time after a year and a half?
Jason is still working in construction. Mm-hmm. He's a very successful construction company. He has people that work for him, so he had a little more free time. Mm-hmm. So he still runs that business, and he's, you know, spends all of his spare time and office hours when he's not doing that on the beach class.
At what point did you know, man, we need to hire people?
We started to realize that after that first big hit, obviously. But we didn't hire people. We looked at the business and we said, look, we can do this. There weren't qualified people in our area that mm-hmm. were in the Hamptons and Long Island. There wasn't anybody out here that knew, that had experience in what we were doing. Nobody. So we took on all the responsibilities ourselves. To this day, we run the business. We run every aspect of the business. JC's wife, Jane, is involved. She helps. We have a great office person, bookkeeper, Monica. And between the four of us, that's it, plus our sales reps from different companies.
Have you attempted to raise any capital or had any interest from investors?
We've had interest from investors, but we never needed the capital. The business, as I said, the business is basically self-financed through sales, which was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to face that. We didn't have to give away a part of the company. We didn't have to go out and beg for money. We were very lucky, very lucky.
Now, how has e-commerce impacted your business?
Our business, up until we did our first trade show a year ago, January, and we brought on sales reps, regional sales reps. Our business to that point was all online sales.
Are you pursuing retailers?
We have right now, we have nationwide, we have, I'm not sure of the number, I think we have 1,200 boutique retailers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right now, we now have a distribution agreement in Europe. We have a distribution agreement in Australia, and we just signed a distribution agreement in Canada.
Where can people find you in retailers domestically?
Domestically, we're everywhere. We were in Bed Bath & Beyond. We still have sunglasses there. That was our first big retailer. And then we've really been focused now on small boutique retailers. And we have retailers in places that we'd never imagined. We have retailers in Kansas. Mm-hmm. In Illinois, in Indiana, it's the beach class, but people discovered, hey, I can use this at picnics, I can use this at outdoor concerts, I can use this at the lake. And then once we discovered that it floats, that opened us up to a whole new market, pool owners, boat owners. So the market really expanded. And right now we're everywhere. We're all over the country at this point.
What are some of the decisions looking back that made a great impact that maybe they just had to make out of instinct and just go with, but they really paid off?
The entire, just doing it in the first place was mm-hmm. instinct. Everything we did was really instinct. As I said, neither of us had any background in any of it. So it was hit and miss. We would speak to anybody that would speak to us to give us advice, anybody that we could find. But it has been up till this day. We're still a growing business. Mm-hmm. We still have a huge market to reach. We still consider ourselves a new business. We're a young business. Up to this day, it's just been a whirlwind from the day we did a prototype till today. It's been nonstop. It's amazing.
Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, what's happened that, you know, you've had to learn from?
We've had to learn from every single thing we've done. We really have. we've had to. The biggest thing that for us was, again, I mean, it came back to inventory, you know, to having, no one assumes that if they invent a product and bring it to market, that it's going to be a hit. You hope and pray that it will be. And it's the biggest thing for us was that period when we couldn't meet demand because we didn't have any product. Like, there was just, you know, we couldn't do it. It would be 3 or 4 months before we got the next batch of product. And
so that's basically been the greatest challenge to overcome.
For us, that's really the, I mean, if finding a manufacturer, we lucked out. Inventory is, for us, was a really big hurdle to overcome. Because if you're working with a small manufacturer, they have other clients and they don't have the infrastructure in place to necessarily do what you need done or to meet your timelines. It's just the nature of the business. So we, as the order started to come in and we knew we had more volume, we had to find another manufacturer to bring it on. So if any product you have to have, we lucked out. We have a great relationship with our manufacturers. We really do. It works really well. It's a great give and take. But that's had we not had that, it would have all fallen apart. I mean, there's no question.
You guys have an amazing story of just initiative and confidence in your idea and just the wherewithal to go, hey, we're going to try this and what can we lose? So for you guys, just so much that you couldn't expect, because like you've said, is we didn't have any expectations because we didn't have experience in this. But is there anything that happened that especially so that you didn't expect in the last 4 years?
What we didn't expect is to grow so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what we didn't expect. I mean, we haven't had any major, aside from not having, you know, the inventory issues, we haven't had any major hurdle thrown our way that we said, oh my God, we didn't expect this.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? You know, that didn't really happen. That fortunately didn't happen to us.
Where do you hope to see the company in the next 5 to 10 years?
We are expanding our product offerings. We want to focus. One of our main focuses right now is environmental, ecological. A lot of cities, states are finally starting to ban plastic and styrofoam products from the beach. And that's important to us. I mean, the beach glass is reusable. It's dishwasher safe. It's made of durable BPA-free acrylic. So this is a reusable alternative for people. So we're looking to expand the product line into accessories. We have a new champagne flute that is actually right now in the mold has been made, and we're actually waiting on samples. So we're going to have that this year. We have lids, which was a direct result of consumer input. People said to us, hey, this needs a lid. And at first we couldn't see it. Why? This doesn't need a lid. You know, it's sort of ran counter. But then people said, give us a lid. We need a lid. So we have a lid open for both style glasses. And we expanded our colors from 4 colors to 13 because that was feedback from consumers. We went out and asked people on Facebook, you know, hey, what color would you like to see? And they responded. You know, people that didn't even own the beach glass would respond to it and say, oh, this is a nice color. This is a great color. And then we took, you know, a number of color ideas that people had. And we said, hey, what color do you like the best? And people responded. You know, people are always willing to give their input. And we use that. So we're going to continue to do that. Now we have, you know, we have a lot of boutique retailers and they are they're our front line. So we're listening to them. We reach out to them and we say, what do you guys think? What should we do next? We're doing a champagne flute. What color should we offer? Should it be in a four pack? Should it come singly? So we're going to expand into new products. We're also expanding into new markets, and we're going to start offering some accessory items as well. With the beach, we're going to continue with the beach outdoor camping focus.
What are you excited about right now?
The exciting part is really going out. The trade shows have been great. Jason enjoys them more than I do, frankly. But the trade shows are nice because you're meeting buyers, you're meeting retailers, and it's a great way to introduce the product. I mean, our product is still, we did a trade show in Atlanta last January, and the company we were with set record sales. We took orders like they had never seen, because ours is a product that we're still young. People don't know us. And when you see the product and when you see how it's used, it's exciting. You know, people are really thrilled about it. So the creative side of it, the development of new products, that's really, I think, what both of us are most excited about. That's really sort of what gets our juices flowing, just like it did with the first one. You know, that's where we're looking to go.
You'll soon see David and Jason's beach glasses on sandy beaches up and down the coast, floating at your next pool party, and even dotting the ski slopes. The beach glass will be available in even more stores in 2018, and as always, online. Learn more about the beach glass on their website, thebeachglass.com, as well as on Facebook and Instagram at The Beach Glass. Thanks for joining us today, and join us next episode as we talk to Mike Chaffin, the co-founder of the apparel brand Three Commas. Subscribe and leave a review on iTunes, and also listen at CeleryDigital.com as well as Podomatic.com.